All right, well, Monday is Martin Luther King Day, and we have Brian Miller on the phone this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Steve.
And my name is Steve, and my co-host is Larry. You're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota in Florida. Surreal News. Larry's going to introduce you.
Good morning, Brian. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Brian Miller has
been, to be here.
Oh, terrific. Brian Miller has been working in the social change movement for 18 years, beginning as a community organizer with groups like Louisiana Coalition for Tax Justice, Louisiana Citizen Action, and Community Farm Alliance in Kentucky. More recently, from 1997 to 2009, Brian served as executive director of Tennesseans for Fair Taxation, and as some of Brian's early accomplishments include helping prevent a hazardous waste facility from being located in a low-income African-American community south of Baton Rouge, uncovering corporate abuses in which public officials were given tax breaks to their own companies, and helping win passage of water quality funding in Kentucky. Brian's a graduate of the University of Southwestern Louisiana, where he was also active as a student organizer. He and his partner, Daria, how does she pronounce it? How's the name?
Daria.
Daria Gear, also a veteran community organizer, live in Waltham, Mass., with their two children. He joined UFE's staff as executive director in 2009. Waltham, and you're working in downtown Boston?
That's correct.
West Street, that haven of nonprofits from one end to the other. That's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Well, United for a Fair Economy has been around for 15 years, and we were established to basically build awareness about the growing dangers of inequality of wealth and income and the way in which that tears communities apart. And, of course, in the process, we began moving towards policies to promote a more broadly shared prosperity.
That sounds great. What's your membership?
Well, we have membership all across the country. We are a national organization, I don't have the exact numbers, but we have membership basically everywhere from California all the way up to Maine. And in addition to that, we also have we partner with a lot of state-level organizations that work on tax policy at a state level. So we've got about 27 partner organizations through our Tax Fairness Organizing Collaborative as well.
We're anticipating the celebration of Martin Luther King, and wonder what your priorities are and what kind of statements you're trying to get across, messages, this month?
Sure. Well, as you know, we just released our State of the Dream 2010 report entitled Drained, Jobless and Foreclosed in Communities of Color. And in that report, we really look at the way inequality has superimposed itself across the lines of race, both in terms of income and wealth. And just a few numbers to throw at you is, you know, a lot of us have heard the unemployment numbers. The new unemployment numbers that just came out last week, which show African-Americans with over 16% unemployment, the highest annual, higher than any annual rate in 27 years. Latinos are at nearly 13%. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate in white communities is about 9%. And what's more is that the jobless rate has been growing faster among communities of color, which is sort of clear evidence that they're getting the brunt of the layoffs amidst this Great Recession. And that's deeply troubling. And, of course, a big part of this report says, you know, look, there's a lot of good initiatives coming out of Washington as far as creating jobs, as far as investing in vital infrastructure from transportation to schools to green technologies, but the way in which we've been doing these job creation projects has not reached the communities hardest hit by the Great Recession, because they've been sort of broad spectrum universal approaches. And in fact, there's a lot of evidence that a larger share of those jobs are going to the places with the lowest unemployment. And so what a big part of the report calls for is, it says, look, we need targeted job creation projects. We need job creation projects that basically say, like the Put America to Work Act, which has $40 billion in job creation money focused on communities with the highest unemployment rates.
I know that maybe in an older economy, and maybe not that old at all, that a lot of job creation and job training was around industries that don't even exist anymore, primarily manufacturing, assembling jobs, things that were moderately skilled, and even maybe unskilled work. And it seems now that the job creation, as you mentioned, the green jobs are all seem to be highly specialized engineering jobs or technical jobs at a much higher level. Just looking at it from a point of view of the types of jobs created, is that the sort of thing that's happening?
Well, that's part of the challenge. But that said, even if you take out the skill level and college education factors, there was one of the studies we cite in the report is that among college-educated populations, only college-educated African-Americans compared to college-educated whites, African-Americans are still twice as likely to be unemployed as their white counterparts. And in that case, you're comparing apples to apples. So it's not all about skill levels, although that does contribute. There's still a lot of other factors involved out there. And so
what's the analysis of that?
Well, I mean, you know, I think there's still obviously a lot of discrimination going on in the world, you know, despite the fact that, you know, obviously Obama's in the White House and that's changed a lot of people's perceptions. But when you get down to the street level, when you get down to the interview level, you know, a lot of people are still being turned away at the interview doors, you know, in part because of their race, at least. Obviously, that's not going on everywhere, but it's still going on in pockets, and it's clearly something is driving the fact that African-American unemployment is twice that of white, even when you limit it to just college graduates.
All right, and then when you look at them when they are employed, blacks earn 62 cents on the dollar, Latinos 68 cents on the dollar for the same jobs.
Well, that 62 and 68 cents actually includes all employed.
Okay.
African-American, all employed whites. So there's some stratification going on there, meaning that even if you look at blacks that are employed, they tend to be employed in the lower rung positions within the industries. Now that said, there are still pay discrepancies even in the same jobs, but that the data you just cited actually looks at all income, so it accounts for a little more than just that. But yes, you're absolutely right. And you know, one of the other things that report cites is as you said, the income disparities are 62 cents and 68 cents for every dollar of white wealth. But when you look at African Americans earn 62 cents of income for every dollar of white income. Latinos earn 68 cents for every dollar of white income. But when you look at wealth, the disparities are even more pronounced. Because when you limit it to just wealth, and that's, you know, the value of a person's homes, the value of their retirement accounts and everything else minus whatever they owe in debt, African Americans have only 10 cents to every dollar of white wealth, and Latinos have only 12 cents to every dollar of white wealth. And part of the reason for that is that unlike income, wealth transfers directly from generation to generation. So when we're looking at the wealth disparities, we're looking at all the inequities and injustices of the past carried forward with compound interest.
Our guest is Brian Miller, the executive director of United for a Fair Economy. It's a national nonprofit organization dedicated to building the movement for greater economic equality. We are interested in hearing you talk a little bit about some of the interventions that might improve the situation, discrimination being, a large factor, as you pointed out. What do we need to be doing? What at a local level by individuals, and what at a national policy level? Where is the push?
Sure. Let me step away from this thing. Just made some noise. I think one of the things that we talk about in the report is that my apologies.
Good.
In the report, we look at basically targeted job creation programs because, again, what the administration has come out with and what Congress has come out with have been broad-spectrum jobs initiatives. However, what we cite in the report is the need for targeted job creation programs, such as the Put America to Work Act. And what that act includes is $40 billion in job creation that's specifically targeted to people who've been unemployed for 26 weeks or more, as well as specific communities, census tracts with the highest unemployment rates.
All right.
And and in addition to that, you know, there's bills like the Put America to Work Act, but there's also amendments that have been put into other bills which are very good, such as the Jobs for Main Street Act, which the Congressional Black Caucus succeeded in getting some amendments put into it that target some aspects of the job creation towards low-income youth and low-income individuals for job training programs.
What is your reaction to people who say that even the Democrats are losing their liberal roots and that government, especially the federal government, is no longer the place to provide an impetus to alleviating social problems or to creating a more equitable society, that in fact Obama, whatever his underlying political values are or his own experience as an African American, is really less impactful in how he's going to guide the party and the administration to a much more conservative path, and that people like Bill Cosby say you got to begin in the community, you've got to solve your own problems, or even putting pressure on places like the Chamber of Commerce, the industry groups, rather than the government as the place to try to leverage change. What's your sense of all that?
Well, I think it's more like both and. I mean, I don't think we can throw in the towel on the federal government at all. The federal government's always been one of the most important instruments for not only fostering challenging some of these boundaries and injustices. The federal government's also the important tool that we're all in this together when it comes to the economic recovery. You know, we certainly can't put our hands in the, you know, our faith in the hands of the corporate boardrooms. We saw what happened with the banking industry. You know, we gave a huge bailout with the idea that somehow they would start loaning money to people. What they did is they cleaned up their books, patted themselves on the back, and then didn't loan any money to Americans. And I think there's a lot of evidence that we need to continue, because unlike the corporate boardrooms, you know, they're not democratically elected. The people in Washington are. And we have a better chance of making sure that the federal government addresses these critical issues facing all Americans. You know, and I do want to add that, because the report talks a lot about racial inequalities, because obviously it's the Martin Luther King Day report. It's released prior to Martin Luther King Day. But the policy recommendations that are in this bill, that are in this report, really help all Americans, especially all working class Americans, including working class whites. Because when you target job creation programs to communities with the highest unemployment rates and the highest poverty rates and the highest foreclosure rates, not only are you helping close the racial wealth divide, but you're also lifting up working class whites who've been hit hard by this economic recession. And that's one of the things that's really important to remember when we look through this. And there's also a whole lot of policy recommendations here about foreclosures and stemming the loss of wealth through foreclosures that we look at.
I think that's a really important point. And also, WSLR is really devoted to reporting and poverty and trying to address those issues and pull the community together. And it's not just about race. It's really about poverty and general human rights rather than just specifically civil rights. Would you agree with that?
Yes. I think that's an important part of it. I mean, you know, we have to, that said, we have to look at race inequalities, because race inequalities are persistent. They're there. They've been with us a long time, and we need to continue addressing it. But when we develop policy recommendations that move us forward as a nation, as a country, you know, a lot of the policy recommendations we look at and we lift up are the kind of policy recommendations that help all working-class Americans.
What could be done at the state level? And you're in Massachusetts with Deval Patrick, who's also, I think, a friend and colleague of the president's. In a very democratic state, or so we assume, what kind of job creation initiatives are possible at the state level? And we're thinking, of course, of Florida here, and where progressives ought to be thinking in terms of influencing the state here.
Right. It's hard for me to think about what specifically you know, would be some of those projects in Florida, because obviously I don't live in Florida.
I know.
Like
we
you
would.
Guys do.
But I was asking about Massachusetts.
But I know states, there are measures that states are doing to directly do some of this. And part of that means, you know, at the city level, for example. I can think of a very specific example at a city level. Now, in this case, it's an example where they got it wrong. A lot of cities and states are getting pass-through money from the federal government for the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And, of course, the litmus test of that was that we wanted to focus on shovel-ready projects.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of those shovel-ready projects are a perpetuation of the old system, which means, you know, the disproportionate share of jobs being created are going to white communities, wealthier communities, in the suburbs in Chicago. They got, I forget the dollar amount, but it was several million dollars, few hundred million actually, in transportation funding. And only 15% of that got spent in the inner city areas of Chicago. All the rest of it got spent on the suburbs. And those kind of policy decisions, which are being made at the city and state level, you know, we need to be looking at these kind of decisions through that same litmus that says, hey, look, let's make sure a lot of these transportation dollars are really spent in connecting these communities and low-income communities and communities of color to the places where they can get to the jobs.
And let me just sort of punctuate that for a minute, because we have a lot of that going on locally here with jobs, et cetera, and some of the CRCs, et cetera, here with Newtown, which is our impoverished community here. And we're pushing for local jobs, that local is important. Hire the local people here to do the work. Before we go, and we're just about out of time here, we talked about a lot of negatives of the State of the Dream. Obviously, Obama, elected president, was part of the dream. Any other positives? Just a few seconds that we have left.
Sure. Well, I think one positive is the fact that we did shift gears at some point. We still need to shift more away from bailing out the banks and Wall Streets and towards directly creating jobs, which is part of what's done in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. We just need to take that the next step by targeting those jobs to communities hardest hit by the Great Recession.
Great. Main Street rather than Wall Street. All right. Thank you, Brian Miller. We are out of time. Thank you for your work. We really appreciate that very much. Any last minute on our way out for Martin Luther King Day for our listeners?
And a website.
Sure, absolutely. Yes, you can, and we'd like to encourage all the listeners, they can download the full report at www.faireconomy.org/dream. And I don't know if you all do this in Miami or in Florida, but I know throughout the country and around here, we will be out on the streets on Martin Luther King Day marching at different rallies and events. And wish everyone well.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you much.
Okay, thank you.
Larry?
Well, I think that a lot of attention is to Haiti these days, and rightly so. And the attention is going to be focused on what it's going to take immediately to provide aid to the injured and to bury the dead respectfully, and then to build the economy up. And it's a setback for the hemisphere, it's a setback for us, but economic development is really so important. It is Martin Luther King's dream, and it's something that we need to be really focused on here locally as well. So take Brian's advice and come out on Martin Luther King Day and show some support for continuing to develop the country.
All right, well, that's Larry, that's your opinion, and these opinions are not those of WSLR. It's board members,
but
and volunteers.
I love it.
Anyone else, it's Vista volunteers or employees, just of the hosts and co-hosts and of our guests. These are uncensored views. Just take what you want and leave the rest. And I want to encourage everybody to listen to the Jumping Mullet Report, our local news reporting Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 6 to 7 with Arlene and Ed and Joe and Stan and Joan and Zeke, Cool Breeze, and Local Matters Joe and Ted and Melinda and Maxie and our new mullets, which are coming on. And, of course, my favorite mullet of all time, Nancy. I also want to thank the Huffington Post, where a lot of this information comes from, the Media Matters folks out of Washington, D.C., and Pete Townend for our Townend Weekly. If you missed any of this show or other shows, you can hear us on the web. We podcast all our shows. You can go to thesurrealnews.com and listen to this and all our prior shows, also iTunes and Pacifica Broadcasting Network. After this show, we have Law and Disorder, which is coming up. And then after that, Dr. Nick's show on the history of bluegrass, an excellent show. Larry, any last-minute thoughts on our way out today?
No, just have a good weekend, everyone, and we will see you next Friday.
Yes, and stay tuned for Law and Disorder, which is, like I say, coming up next. Let's see, that Law and Disorder features some of the legal aspects of the news coming up on Obama Stops Release of Yemen Detainees. All right, you've been listening to Surreal News on WSLR 96.5, Low Power FM in Sarasota, Florida, your community radio station. Have a great day.